This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte.
Today's word on the future, together. Because the future of business isn't driven by what machines or people do alone, but by all they can achieve together. See how we can help at deloitte.com/us/innovate.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
I've been following the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians for many years, and I've spent time there as a reporter, trying to understand what the conflict has done to the people who live with it every single day. I have not seen a depiction of the situation as complex and as deep as the 10-part series called Our Boys. A co-production of HBO and the Israeli studio Keshet, Our Boys tells a horrible true story. In 2014, a Palestinian teenager named Mohammed Abu Qader was kidnapped, burned, and brutally murdered. His body was left in the Jerusalem forest. The crime was an act of reprisal. Israeli extremists were retaliating for the murder of three Israeli boys by a Hamas-linked group just weeks earlier. Our Boys thoroughly examines just about all of the forces that led to the death of Mohammed Abu Qader. It's not for the faint of heart. It just isn't. But if you want to understand the currents of extremism and violence, I really do recommend Our Boys to you highly. Two of the creators of the show are Chagai Levy and Tofik Abu Wel. I reached them in Tel Aviv last week. Chagai, what was the starting point for this project? How did you come to tell the story of the death of Mohammed Abu Qader?
So in the beginning, we wrote a pilot for HBO, and the pilot focused more on the far right-wing groups in Israel, like Hilltop Boys or Lehava, you know, really.
The Hilltop Boys being settlers who are particularly radical and living in the West Bank.
Exactly. Most of them teens, actually, but very, very violent and very messiah ideology and so on. So in the beginning, we took the Abu Qader case only as a starting point to go and explore those groups and actually to understand the connection to those radical groups to the more political leaders until all the way to the government. But I felt it wasn't real enough. It wasn't true. It was a fictional series inspired by certain reality and certain events, but it wasn't like true. So by the time I called Joseph Cedar, the director Joseph Cedar, whom I knew, and Joseph asked me to explore more the case of Abu Qader itself. At that time, Trump was elected, and you know, we were in shock. Well, not like you, but we were. And I felt that this is something different. It's not about religion or very extreme ideologies. This is what I felt at the time, but more about hate. And then we understood that what we want to do actually is to examine the nature of hate crime, you know, to make an anatomy of hate crime. And this is what we were trying to do.
You also brought in a third person who's sitting with you right now, Tofik. And Tofik, I should explain that you live within Israel. You don't live in the West Bank. You are a Palestinian Israeli. And I wonder how complicated your decision to get involved was, Tofik.
Actually, it was like a story because usually, you know, I get calls from Israeli filmmakers or creators when they have something about Arabs, and all the time I say no. This time when Joseph called me, I just met him for a while, and then I found myself traveling with him and with Chagai Levy to visit Abu Khader family, the parents of Muhammad Abu Khader, Hussein and Suha. And suddenly I watch their pain, they're like something you can't imagine. You see especially in the mom and Suha face, they were very nervous about the fact that Israeli creators are going to tell their own story. And just when they realized that I am the one who is going to tell their son's story, and it's something changed in their faces, and I can't forget that. You know, it's like something, all the tension they had, it suddenly became like something, you know, even sweet in their faces when they realized that I'm the one who is going to tell their own story. And after that, I had a lot of pressure from Palestinians, activist Palestinians, not to make this serious, because it's an Israeli production, it's Israeli creators, and I'm not regular to this kind of pressure because I don't deal with direct politics, and it was very hard for me. I hesitated. I almost left the making this show. But I called Hussein, the father of Muhammad Abu Khader, and I just told him about my hesitation. And I remember he told me, if your consensus is clear, do it. If not, don't do it. He was so calm, you know. And then I understand that my own problems, it's like very tiny for him, for such a person who passed such a tragedy. And I decided to make it, you know, despite all the difficulties and the pressure I had.
So what was the collaboration like, the debates you had, the arguments you had in trying to conceive and write the story at such a deep level? The story not only features the three young religious men who committed the murder, it also is about the Palestinian family. It's about a woman who was a psychiatrist for one of the Israelis. It's an immensely complex story. And I wonder what your debates were like, your conversations, your arguments.
So we had to bridge not only artistic differences, you know, and so that was one part of the problem, I should say, and the other was to find the right narrative. You know, I could bring the example of the interrogation of Hussein. Okay, so when Hussein's, Muhammad's father, when he's brought to the police station.
وانت اخر مره شفت محمد
امبارح بالليل
تذكر اي ساعه
the scene that you're talking about is remarkable. Hussein, whose son is missing and it will eventually be found dead, beaten and burned to death, is interrogated by the police, the Israeli police, not in a sense of sympathy but in a sense of suspicion.
ومن ثلاثه اللي بيت حنين عم يشوفوهم قالوا
ما قالوش انهم مستوطنين قالوا إن الشوفير عنده لحية ما أقول لكم الإخوان مسلمين.
And he, this suddenly dawns on him, and throughout the series he's constantly in the middle. He has forces on the Palestinian side who want him to not cooperate with the investigation and to become more politically radicalized and to be used as a symbol. And at the same time he's a father, he's a husband. He's in the middle of so much in this drama.
Absolutely, and he has his own journey from just a very simple merchant to become a political figure, and to take his pain into the political field. So that was so on that specific scene, I think Tawfiq felt different and told us I was there. I've been interrogated here and there by, you know, in airports and so, and this is how it looks like. So that was kind of debate we had.
Now, Chagai, you mentioned somewhere that there is a parallel between what happened in 2014 in Israel and the current political climate in the United States, especially when it comes to something like the El Paso shooting. What's the parallel that you see there?
So at a certain point, I felt that we are dealing with hate crime, which is not necessarily particular to Israel. Hate crime, you know, this is something is going on all over America and Europe. towards immigrants, towards, I don't know, gays, some, all kinds of minorities. What I try to understand is how, what would cause this kind of hate crime, and what kind of theory that we try to put here is that it's kind of a layered structure in a way that you have, you have someone with some psychological problem and some socio-economical problems, and he's from the suburbs, and there is kind of even certain racism towards himself and some other problems. And if that kind of person meets with incitement at the right point, that could create the perfect storm for a hate crime. This is what we try to say.
You've gotten some good reviews in the left-wing Israeli press, and Haaretz is most commonly quoted left-wing Israeli newspaper. But in the right-wing Jerusalem Post, it said the series sins by encouraging the moral equivalency chorus. Have you gotten a lot of pushback on the show from critics, both in the press and elsewhere?
I can understand that. It is hard to understand our choice. You know, you could argue, why would you do a series about Jewish terror when it's so rare comparing to Palestinian terror? It is a legitimate question.
Well, how do you answer the question?
Well, the answer that I have, you know, I can speak for myself, is that I always would like to dig into my own soul. This is what I'm doing in everything I do. So it was very obvious for me to understand and to inquire my own, personally, my own feelings of superiority, my own racism, my, you know, all of these things. I felt that there is, that I have some of them. And by searching, by dig in into this specific story, I felt like I dig in into myself, that I'm telling a very personal story. It is not a series about terror at all, you know, not a Palestinian terror or Jewish terror. It's not about terror. It's actually mainly about understanding the nature of some killer or some killers or some murder, and to understand why, how could it happen, and what are the circumstances that it could happen in. So this is not about terror. It's about something else that I felt it's very personal for me.
I just want to bring, you know, my point of view about your question, why you choose to make this story, you know, because it's all the time, you know, the same question, you know, as I see it, you know, here Israelis and Palestinians like live in their injury, so mostly a lot of people will judge everything if it's against us, if it's good for us. So you can't get away with to satisfy everybody, you know, because from Palestinian point of view, the occupation itself is a terror. It's an everyday terror, you know, Jewish people or settlers. It's not Jewish, you know. I prefer to use the word Israeli. Israeli people, it's they don't need to do it, you know, because the system do it by itself, and so it's complicated. It's complicated for everybody. And what I think, you know, that the Siri, you know, didn't mean to satisfy anybody. It just, you know, to like Haggai said, it's to dig in a story, to dig in a character, to dig in yourself, and also to be critical about, you know, the situation and the society that you are dealing with.
By the way, to the Palestinian society as well.
Yes, as the Palestinian society as well.
As we see in the series, yeah.
What does the telling of this story do to its audience? What can it do, and what are the limits of what it can do?
I'll tell you something. I come from a bereaved family. My brother died in the Lebanon War, in the first Lebanon War. And you know, my sister, who just watched the couple of first episodes, said to me, it was amazing for me to see that they, the Abu Khdir family, is just a bereaved family as we are. You know, this is the same agony, the same pain. As simple as it is, you don't use to think about the other, about their loss or their agony. You think you use, even if you are very, you know, liberal and self-aware. And I think that's something that could that people can see in that series, the pain in the other side, and that's and change just for a minute their position from, you know, and let the other be the victim for a moment.
Chagai and Tofik, I want to thank you so much for the work and your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Chagai Levy and Tofik Abuel. The 10-part series Our Boys is on HBO Now.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. What does the future look like? By melding business acumen and innovative technology, Deloitte can help you build the future only you can imagine. They can help engineer solutions for your business reality today and your vision for tomorrow to get you to a world where you don't just dream it, you build it. See how you can engineer advantage with Deloitte at deloitte.com/us/engineeringadvantage.